You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here for an uneventful week.
Very much so. The stock markets, how are they reacting to all the trouble in the Middle East and beyond now?
Well, predictably down. And the Middle East all was coincident with cycles that indicated that we could be in for some trouble here in the February-March period, which I've been banging the table on for a while, but, you know, generally ignored by most people, you know, and they don't think very much about seasonal patterns or lunar cycles or, you know, all the other kind of factors, eclipses that are occurring both lunar and solar. A lot of events here, and we can go over all those in a little bit more detail, but, you know, without getting into the politics of the whole thing, and I have, you know, very strong feelings, you know, and so forth about it, but people read my newsletter know where I'm coming from. You know, the bottom line, the markets were in trouble, and maybe they were anticipating these events. It's interesting, though, the sell-off we had the last couple of days, the Dow was down like 1,200 points during the day today, and I think it only closed down under 800. But, you know, looking at the charts, and particularly the S&P, it was actually lower a couple of days ago than it was intraday today. So we sort of tested that that low, looking at the spiders, that's around the 6,600 to 6,669, so that'd be 6,690 in the S&P, and we didn't quite get that low today. Got closer to that 6,750 area. But, you know, for people who subscribe to my letter, can see the chart showing my negative volume reversals for the last, you know, several weeks, saying, you know, watch out, we could get a sell-off. So the thing we have to think about here is it over yet? You know, as we run through this March period, we're not even talking about April. April's got this historically just a lot of negative things in April. We, I usually publish that list, you know, all kinds of crazy events around the world and in the previous centuries that occur in April that are pretty negative. But in particular, March, you know, the Ides of March, everybody jokes about. But you had, of course, the vernal equinox coming up here around the 22nd. And historically, there are times where you hit big lows. So is this just a big sell-off into a big buying opportunity? If you remember last year in April when Trump announced the tariffs, you know, on that Liberation Day, that was in April, and it was a huge market crash at that point. I don't know if it's going to stretch into April or not. We're in that time frame. Anything is possible. But definitely, you know, warned that into the end of the first quarter, and possibly into the second, we could see some volatility. So I have no confirmation yet that it's over, but we were due for it. And if you look at the charts, in the S&P in particular, there are much lower levels that the market, I think, needs to go to correct the run-up. And we've already seen big corrections in the high-tech stocks, Jim. You know, we've already talked about that. The Magnificent Seven is now the Unmagnificent Seven in terms of their performance. So we don't go over each of those stocks, but, you know, everything from Netflix to Microsoft and all the big names had corrective issues, a lot of high-tech names. NVIDIA, darling of Wall Street, failed after its earnings report last week, and we were actually short using an inverse ETF playing that, and I don't think NVIDIA's done on the downside either. So by the same token, you know, if you remember the headline we had in our report, I think it was last week, was the rally in the Dow to a new high at 50,000 in the last couple of weeks, a bear trap, a bull trap, that is, if he was bearish. And sure enough, that was a correct observation. We were seeing money move out of the Mag 7 names into more conservative names, most of which are in the Dow Industrials here in the U.S., you know, low names like Procter & Gamble or Home Depot and General Mills and, you know, stuff like that. So that was driving the Dow up, even though most of the market was weak, particularly in the technology sector. So, you know, there's a question mark, you know, where the low is. Did we see it now? Are we going to see it in the next 30 days? And we need to see technical confirmation of that. It was a little encouraging today to see the lows from a couple of days ago hold in the S&P. But that's not, you know, that's not full, you know, confirmation yet. And as I said, I still have much lower targets, but it could come later in the year as well. And we have what is known out there. Many people don't talk about it. In fact, they never talk about it. Is the working group of financial markets that Ronald Reagan created back in 1988. And it's fondly referred to as the Plunge Protection Team, which is a not-so-secret group that, and all in addition to other powers that the government has, there's a Equity Stabilization Act and the Gold Reserve Act from the 1930s and all kinds of stuff we can talk about, but government can get in there and support the markets based on what his executive order and previous legislation that exists. So, you know, I'm always, you know, when you see the market recover after sharp sell-offs, that's more than likely the Plunge Protection Team out there. You know, a lot of reasons why they would do that, you know, the political and other reasons, of course. So when we have a midterm election coming up in November, and the other big story this week, of course, I don't have to tell you, and people know what's going on, you know, in the Mideast, you know, crude oil, you know, shot up dramatically, over $80 a barrel, and which is still cheap compared to how high it's been, you know, in the last couple decades, but helps some of the oil stocks, but concerns everyone regarding inflation risks and the cost of gasoline and so forth. So there's a lot of, you know, for an uneventful week, Jim, you know, there's just, it's sort of hard to digest. I mean, I honestly, I've lost a lot of sleep because I've been up late at night sort of fixated on the news reports and what's going on with regard to the Israeli-U.S. war in the Mideast and what's going on. It just, you know, fascinating times. I mean, how many times in your lifetime do you get to witness something like this? You know, we had the Kuwaiti war, you know, back in the 90s, and you know, the Iraqi war and all this stuff. And
I'm, you know, just generally calling it Gulf War 3.
Yeah, Gulf War, right. And we, and I remember staying up late at night decades ago watching the news and just seeing what was happening and watching the explosions in the sky and all the crazy stuff going on out there. But, you know, this is, you know, getting into the politics a little bit, there's absolutely needed to be done. I mean, we've been at war, the West, in particular the U.S., with Iran for 50 years. I mean, it was when I was a kid, I was in my late 20s, you know, I remember working for a brokerage firm in Chicago when the Americans were, you know, captured in Iran and, you know, all the stuff that went on back there and all these decades dealing with these criminal, this criminal organization or theory or government or whatever you want to call it that runs that country. And so it's nothing new. I mean, basically we had to resolve a war that's been going on for 50 years, and now that they've bombarded some of our allies and other non-participating nations, you know, in the Mideast, you know, the sympathy against them has grown even more. So anyway, without getting into that too much, because you can watch the news and see what's going on there, certainly the markets, at least the cycles and the stuff that I've been talking about, sort of predicted something was coming. I think one of the newsletters I wrote not too many weeks ago, beginning of January, were when and where is the next black swan going to come from? You know, there was going to be a black swan somewhere. I mean, in April of last year was Liberation Day, and now this is the Gulf War, Iranian war, and is there more coming and so forth and so on. But, you know, overall, you know, the markets had a little bit of a dip here. They've come down. We certainly have not seen a crash. I mean, last April on the Liberation Day, it had a much bigger sell-off over a few days than we've had here. So I guess you can look at that as more bullish than bearish. But maybe, as I said, the Plunge Protection Team and other forces were in there supporting the market this time. They didn't let it get out of hand as it did last April on the Liberation crash. And, you know, again, there's political reasons why that would happen or not happen. So I'm still more bearish than bullish. I'm a pragmatist. You know, we were short the market here for our clients, and we picked a couple winning stocks too that were up, believe it or not, in this environment. So you have to subscribe to see those. But and if you do want to subscribe, by the way, we really don't talk about it. You can go to VRTrader.com. That's VRTrader.com and sign up. But that's sort of a summary of an uneventful week. But on the geocosmic front, I mean, there's so much going on. I mean, I just learned from you off air, you know, about the explosion, the meteorite that exploded over Vancouver here earlier this week. It occurred the day of the full moon, by the way, which is sort of interesting. So for those who are not aware of what happened, apparently, as you indicated, there's a football-sized meteorite that exploded over Vancouver and caused a huge explosion. And we've seen a few of these events over the years where serious damage can occur, but it's coming in this time frame where, you know, the cycles are saying, you know, watch out. We also, as many of you may out there know, we had a total lunar eclipse yesterday and the day before. Not many people participated in it. You know, it was visible here in Arizona. There's a solar eclipse coming up March 29th. It's not visible here. It's visible in Europe and Greenland and the North Atlantic. So on a planetary basis, a lot going on. I mean, it's really, you know, that's what I got so excited when you told me about this meteorite exploding. I mean, look at all these geocosmic events. And you got the vernal equinox coming up, and we have what's known as the Mercury retrograde phenomenon, which is attributed more to the astrology than to science, but it's an event where it's in this, as we view Mercury from the planet, it looks like it's going in reverse, but it's not, but it's called a retrograde action in the sky, and it's pretty much during the course of March, it's just a 30-day period when it's doing this, and people that follow cycles, including myself, you know, make a note of that, because sometimes you get some volatility during these Mercury retrograde periods. And again, this is just what I picked up over the years from a lot of people who research this stuff. So just a whole pile of really interesting stuff. I mean, really, it's a plethora of like exciting time if you're into times, if you're into this into the cycles. And so very, you know, we should come out of it, and we'll see what happens. So that bottom line is an uneventful week.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, I find it amazing that while the price of crude oil is going up because of the trouble in the Middle East, share prices are down. Is it a good time to invest in oil companies?
Well, the truth is they've acted pretty well. One of the ones that I follow, which is the one I've traded more and had more in the newsletter than others, is Chevron.
Yeah.
CVX, and that actually went to a new high today.
Oh.
And others did as well. Chevron, for example, it got it got up to, I guess I'm mistaken, it was 191.50 2 days ago, and it got to just under 190 today, so it's actually closer to a tie than down. But at other names like Apache, which is more of a U.S. domestic oil company, that just went to touch the new closing high today, got over $32.50. I mean, this is basically a $24 stock just a few 3 weeks ago. So, you know, it's probably a little bit of a blow off, you know, in crude oil and in some of these shares, because they've been rallying for a while. I've been bullish on the oil stocks and oil in particular for a while, and our subscribers or people that follow my comments here know that we've long been playing this. As the chart said, we were going to get a rally, and also on an inflation-adjusted basis to theory, you know, crude oil was cheap compared to what we saw in the metals and other commodities, and it just made sense that some type of catch-up was needed. So the rally, that was sort of the reason I liked the crude oil. It just, Arthur was saying they were turning up and they were underpriced, so to speak. And then, of course, the Venezuela situation helped names like Chevron. And so it was in motion for a while before this Mideast Iranian war. Now, I'm not saying it's over. I mean, maybe, things will get more complicated there and oil will take off again, go even higher. But certainly it hasn't shown a top yet, but it certainly looks like a little bit of a blow-off here. And some of the shares kissed their previous highs or equaled them and didn't take them out today. So that might be a sign that, the worst may be over in terms of the big rally here for those who are short those stocks. But many of them were just great investments. I mean, most of the oil companies pay nice dividends, and they were just good investments anyway, regardless of whether oil is doing well or not, crude oil is doing well or not, any of these stocks. Like a Chevron paid a very nice dividend, more than you get in treasury bills. So it was not a bad play at the time when, it looked like they had turned up.
Anything going on with uranium?
It's correcting a little bit. The whole metal sector is in a correction right now. We can talk uranium. We can talk copper, gold, silver, platinum, palladium, lithium. Basically, we had a big blow off here at the end of January, early February in the metals, and then they had a sharp sell off, as silver included. And if you look at the charts, it looks like we have formed what they call a bear flag, which is a technical term. It's basically, you can imagine a chart with a down move and then a sort of sideways pattern with a slightly higher bias, and that usually is a sign that we're just going to come break support and have another wave down before the correction is over. So though I'm a long-term bull on the metals, I talked about months ago when silver started to move, that when I was asked a question the beginning of January before it took off, I said, well, yeah, it might go to 100, but it may also go back to 50. I think I was interviewed in early January on that question. So it went over 100, went up to 120, 225, or whatever the number was, and it may go to 50. So we'll see. But the technical formation here is, I'm interpreting it as mildly bearish, but if we break out of the recent high and on this little channel that we're in, we're looking at a technical channel on the chart, then I suppose we can retest the highs and take off again. But the overall thinking is that we had a big blow off, we're correcting, and we may not be done with the correction in the metals yet, since they had such a huge move. And also that expression, which you've heard millions of times, they throw the baby out with the bathwater. So when the markets come down, as they did today, you saw gold and silver and metals all down today. Even though stocks were down, you think they would go inverse, but they went in sympathy. So I remember even during the crash in 1987 and other crashes, gold didn't do so well. Some people have to sell positions to raise money. They sell everything, including the gold, when they need cash. And this time may be different, but that's sort of the pattern. So long-term bull, short-term concern. Hopefully I'm wrong on the short term and it just takes off again. If you subscribe to my annual forecast model, which is another product on our website at vrtrader.com, we have a sketch of the zigs and zags for not only the Dow Industrials, but all the metals, major metals, how we see them trading during the course of the year. So you may want to sign up for that because it's been reasonably accurate. It also covers Bitcoin and other markets as well. So it's on sale now, by the way. You can get 50% off of the annual forecast model if you use the promo code half off. But it's something, if you're serious about the markets, you may want to take a look at it. I've only been producing that model since 1987, and I wouldn't have been doing it all these years if it didn't have some real accuracy to it.
Any ideas on what Bitcoin's going to do?
It's acting a little better here. It's a pattern not too dissimilar to what we see in the metals. Had your huge down move, and now it's trying to base and recover and creating the same quote-unquote bear flag formation. In other words, you can imagine a sharp down move and then a channel, and it was trying to trend sideways or slightly higher. So Bitcoin, Solana, XRP, Ethereum, they all, you know, they sort of just, again, reading charts is always an art as well as a science, but it's sort of, they sort of feel like they want to trend higher before they go lower, which I think is the pattern. I think they're going to, chances are they could rally. We're actually long Bitcoin here, using one of the ETFs, betting that we can get more of a bounce here, but we're keeping our stops really close because I feel that after this rally, there could be another wave down in it. So more bearish than bullish overall for a while, but short term, a little bullish, thinking we can get more of a pop here. So just watching the numbers really carefully. If you're not in Bitcoin or the cryptos, I would say the overall trend is still up. We had a big shake already, and there may be another shake, but we're all never going to pick the bottom or the exact timing. And if you take a couple year perspective on these things, using weakness to nibble a little bit or have them in your portfolio, I still think makes sense. So, but if you're trying to trade it as we are, short-term bullish with a close stop, with a view that if you get a little bit of rally, we'll sell, take a profit, and then look for another bigger buy point later in the year.
Mark, anything else we should keep a close eye on right now?
I was going to cover the geocosmic more, but we did so much already covering that. I mean, there's so much we've already discussed, so I think that pretty much winds it up for now. Just exciting time here in the market, a lot of trading opportunities, and we are seeing some individual names do their own thing. And I'll just mention like one stock, for example, which I'm trading myself, and I also have in the newsletter Netflix, which had a big washout in the last couple 3 months because it was going to acquire Warner Brothers Discovery, and that deal is off. So the stock has been sort of trending up and improving, and it was probably one of the only stocks. I mean, you can probably count them on your hand that was actually up today and the last couple of days showing buying interest, even though the markets were down. And I think it's because they killed it so much. You know, it was down almost like 100 points from its high that it was due for a technical bounce, and plus the fact they don't have to do they're not doing the deal now, and deal was called off. That takes downward pressure off the stock. So, there's always something. There's an expression, you got to give Jim Cramer, I guess, the credit for that. There's a bull market somewhere, and we try to find it, right? There's always something moving to the upside, for whether news or fundamental technical reasons. So that was just one of them. But no, just exciting. I'm telling you, I've had very little sleep watching the news and staying on top of this, because this is the reason why you're in the markets. I mean, this volatility is so exciting if you're a trader, just looking, seeing the big swings and searching out both buy and sell opportunities in this type of market. It just a nice steady sideways uneventful market puts me to sleep. I mean, I love the volatility. This is the adrenaline that has kept me going all these years. So I'm really grateful to see it, but I probably need to catch up on my sleep.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you. Take care.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. If you have any questions for Mark, you can send them to info@howstreet.com, and we'll ask those questions for you. Our popular YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.